you probably already know this. Y'all have been doing this for a lot longer than I have. But to give you a perspective of preaching in a lot of different places prior to coming here, that's not your typical singing stuff on Wednesday night anywhere else. So, well, you're blessed. Amen. We have great piano player. We do great songs, and then we worship too. I mean, man. Anyway, when you're thanking God, thank Him for that stuff too, because it's important. Take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 3. I had a great analogy as we're going to Galatians chapter 3. I don't know who I was listening to. I was driving down the road one day or the other, and I heard this great analogy. And it was about salvation, but it's also about your prayer life. It's also about your Bible reading and stuff like that. But I took it as Bible reading, and I'm also going to talk about it as far as your prayer life goes too, or your Christian walk. When you get saved, and hopefully everybody here is saved. If you're not, it's really simple. Jesus Christ is the gift of salvation. It's free. And all you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Hopefully everybody in this room has received that gift. Amen? And if you haven't, then the altar's always open, and you can get saved anywhere. I hope you know this. I got saved in a single-wide trailer in Chatsworth, Georgia. There's a little lady in our church. You say this. She got saved in a chicken house. Had a revival in a chicken house. She said, look what I traded for heaven, you know. Same thing for me. He said something. He said, if you had gotten the deed to a gold mine, right? Now listen, the mine has gold in it. It's absolute got gold in it, right? When you get saved, you automatically have Christ in you. Amen? But you get the deed. You get like, okay, somebody says, all right, we're going to give you the title and the deed to the gold mine. The gold's in there. And, man, that is awesome. Is that not right? If somebody calls you tomorrow, let's just pretend, all right? Somebody just calls you tomorrow and says, hey, we found a gold mine. It was your great, 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 great. For some of you, even greater than that. all right, everybody ain't laughing. But we found it, and it's yours. All you got to do is come down here and get it and sign for it. You go down there and sign it, and they hand you the deed and title. And they say, but you know what? That gold is in that mine, and that mine is yours. But if you don't ever go in that gold mine, you'll be an owner of it, but you won't have any gold from it. So you know what you got to do? It's yours. You got it, and it's precious. The gold is valuable. The God is valuable. But you got to work it out to get it out. It's free. It was given to you. But you got to go after it. The Word of God is just like that gold mine. When you got saved, you got the title. And let me say this. You got the right to go in the Word of God and get out every nugget that God has for you. Amen? And somebody said, well, don't lost people have it? They got the book. They just ain't got the author in them who wrote the book. They don't have the tools to get the gold out of the mine. Amen? And I started thinking about that too, is the way some places you got to chip away to get to the, you know, you don't always just blow stuff up and go in there and take an axe pick. Some things you got to chip away and chip away. Well, you got to do that too through your prayer life and following God, right, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are y'all good? So hopefully tonight what I'm going to try to do, we got a long way to go. I hope we get it all out. If we don't, we don't. Somebody said, well, at this time of the year, we should have switched gears and kind of done Christmas messages. And if there ain't nobody else want to do that more than me. I sat down there and looked Isaiah chapter 6, and I said, Lord, give it, you know, come on, come on, come on, come on. You know, unto you a child is born. And come on, Lord, come on. Christmas message, go to Luke chapter 2, you know. And the signal is not there. I mean, it's just like, go back to Galatians chapter 3, right on, the antenna's up. We're receiving a message. But I want to tell you this. Have you ever received a Christmas gift and found out a function of it later on? Okay, let me make it more realistic to you guys. Have you ever owned a car that was above your knowledge level and all of a sudden you find a button on there or something, and you're like, what does that do? And you're pushing a button, and you don't know what in the world it's doing, but you just keep pushing it, right? Anyway. All right, I've got a couple of them buttons on my car. I'm sitting there going, man, I don't know what's doing. Right? And a little button, something will come up on the screen. You're like, I don't know. Right, there's a function. Now 5 or 6 years, I'm going to find out. Somebody's going to come along and say, if you push this button right here, do this right here. Right, you get the gift, you have the car. But guess what? We got Christ. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But guess what? We're going to find some more functions to the gift in what we're doing today. I'm finding out stuff in the Word of God that I ain't never seen before. And I'm getting a gift. I got Jesus. This is a Christmas message. Amen. So let's get under it. Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians. God, don't you love how Paul talks to his churches? Amen. Some of y'all shouldn't feel so bad. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Took me a while to get this. But what was happening is these are some of them are Jews who have committed to Christianity. Some of these are Gentiles who have committed to Christianity. And there's a war going on all the time because there's people coming back in and saying, get back up under the law. Get back. You got to at least do this. You got to at least get circumcised. You got to at least follow some of these commandments. You got to at least, man, at least change what you're wearing. At least have some semblance of, you know, Judaism. I mean, you just can't go recklessly into Christ Jesus. Amen? We do the same thing. We have our ideas of what church is. And then there's just Jesus. If all your world gets shook down, you boil it back down to Jesus. You don't care about the carpet, the pews, the walls, the ceiling, the sign, the parking lot. If you get shook bad enough, you get down to that place where you say, oh, Jesus. Right? Okay, what Paul was saying is, he goes, since Jesus died, and that's what you believed in, why in the world would you go back to the law? And I've been saying this for years, I just didn't know how to put it together with this scripture. If Jesus died, that should tell you something. If Jesus became a man, died on a cross, that means that's what it took. You understand what I'm saying now? The law can't do that. So if the law would have worked, then that wouldn't have took that, but it took that. So since it took that, never take your eyes off of that. Amen. When you don't feel like you're good enough, and you remind yourself, I'm not. When you think you're not doing that, you're not. But always remember, that's why Jesus died. Amen? That's what Paul was saying. He came down there to him. He said, who told you? How foolish did you get that you were going to go back and try to make your own righteousness? Why? Remember Jesus on the cross that you believed in? It's overkill if you got to go back to the law. You understand what I'm saying? It's not overkill. It's exactly what it took. I hope y'all got that. Verse 2. This only would I learn. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He asked them, how did you get right? How did you get right? Did you get right by doing right? Man, I grew up in a church that every Sunday and every Wednesday they would tell you, you need to do this. You need to do better, whatever this was. And you need to stop doing that. God. I ain't the only one that's raised in that, but I'm just telling you this. And I mean, I'd go home and I'd try. I would. I'd try. And weeks and months would go by, or maybe hours and minutes, and sometimes seconds. And I'd fail. And I'd say, I can't. I can't do it. And I couldn't until I got saved. And when I got saved, it wasn't that I was any stronger, any better in my flesh. God had put an agent on the inside of me by the Holy Spirit of God, and I didn't want to mess up as bad as God didn't want to mess up, because nobody had to preach me into trouble or out of trouble. I was with God, and God was with me and in me. Man, it's liberating. Nobody has to tell me anything. I'm like, I got it. You know what I mean? But I want you to see that. I tried to do it right. And if you're still trying to, let me say it this way. If you're still trying to be a Christian, if you're still trying to go to church, if you're still trying to read the Bible, I'm still trying to pray. Praise God. It changes when you get it. I get to. I've got, golly, I might not make it to where we want to go. I have access to Jesus because of Jesus. Period. I'm not ever going to do nothing. I couldn't do it. Paul said, how did you get right? You got right because God made you right. Man, that's a good, man, I don't know if that helps anybody else. We could probably leave here tonight going, thank God for that. Amen? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Jump down, look, verse 3. Are you so foolish? Man, I love the Bible. Amen. I'm serious. He started, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Hey, what happened? He said, ask him again. Was it the Spirit of God that's doing it, or was it you? And you know the answer. I know the answer. I couldn't do anything. You can't either. I'm gonna do better next time. I'm gonna go to church double good. I'm gonna say some stuff that's against preaching, you know, against being a pastor. You know what? Coming to church don't make you any better than not coming to church. As far as your relationship with God. Now, edification does. I had to throw that in there. Some of y'all be like, see you later, buddy. See you in a couple, 6 weeks. There's so much more to church than just coming to church to check off a list. Amen? There's a lot more to it than that. But I want you to see this. It's all in the Spirit of God. Man, before I got saved, before I got the Holy Spirit of God, listen, I didn't want to do any. I was in rebellion of God. That's what I mean. Everything He wanted me to do, everything He liked, everything He wanted, I didn't want to do. I didn't like. I liked everything that was about me. But when you get saved, it all changes. Even the law changes. You start seeing the law for what it is. Let's go faster because we're never going to get to verse 27 or 28. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if you be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he do they book by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? Everybody knows exactly what he's saying. Is these things coming by the law? Paul is just, it's like a bombing. He's just bombing them with this truth. I want you to get this. What he's literally saying is, just do an examination. When you truly get Christ Jesus, what changed? And you got to resign. Wait a minute. God came in on the scene. God started doing the things. There's some people in our midst that have testimony like this. I don't use drugs anymore. Do you don't think they wanted to quit before they ever got saved? Do you don't think they wanted to quit before they ever got the Spirit of God? Yeah. There's some people in here that's dealt with pornography. There's people in here that's dealt with lying. There's some people dealt in here with major, listen to this, major issues in homes. Amen? Stuff that you wouldn't tell nobody on your worst day if you didn't have to. Things that's happened to you and things you've done. We have altar call, right? But God. But God came on the scene. But Jesus moved in. And man, those things that you thought you could never get relief from, never get healed from, never give forgiveness, never get forgiveness, never get any kind of healing from, you did. And Paul's only asking you, where did it come from? Where did that miraculous thing come from? The flesh or from the Spirit? From the law or from God Himself moving in your life? It's simple. It's God. It's just God moving in. And even when you're, man, I wish you could get this because this is down in the core of it. Even when you do wrong, man, I've got a guy in there. It's like he keeps ringing the bell every time. Amen? What I mean is, when I try to go on with life, even though I've done something, said something, thought something, I've got a guy who's saying, hey, remember? Hey. And you're sitting there going, why can't I get anything out of my reading? Why can't I get anything out of my praying? Why ain't I getting anything out of the messages? Man, everybody else is flipping out in the Spirit. Everybody else is shouting. Everybody else is crying. Everybody's having a good time. What's going on with me? Ding, ding. You got something between me and you. All you got to do is work that out. All you got to do is talk to me about it. All you got to do is ask for me forgiveness of it. And then guess what? We can get back in right relationship. And guess what? You'll start feeling that same thing everybody else is feeling. You'll start getting those nuggets back from God. You'll start getting that. Y'all good? Y'all good? Whew. It switches. This whole chapter kind of switches right here. Even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Make a note right there. Abraham, right? He was in his own nation, his own country, and God said, come out. Abraham, come out from amongst them. Wow, what an awesome thing. Hey, Abraham, come out. Come out from what? Your mama, your daddy, your whole past, your whole present, and I'll be your future. All right, Lord. Now, you know, there ain't no other Christians right now. There ain't no other believers. There ain't nobody else doing this. It's just you and God. Amen? Okay. And then God don't say another word to you for years. Come on out. Come out from amongst them. Let me ask you a question. I want y'all to get this. Has he been circumcised yet? Got any of the commandments yet? Judaism isn't even a thing. A promised land ain't even a thing, right? He believed God by faith, didn't he? Man, y'all see that? Is that not amazing and awesome? Just see that right there. I wanted you to see it. Look, it switches. The whole thing switches. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's us, through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Make that a life verse. What he's saying is, now this is radical that Paul is teaching this, because you know Paul's background, but he just flat out tells you, nobody can be justified by the law. He said, you can try and try and try. But everybody, even in the Old Testament, were justified by faith. They had to believe God, who He was, before they could ever even try to please Him by the law. Amen? Man, I love this stuff. We got to go fast because I'm trying to get somewhere. The just shall live by faith. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Let me break that down and go slow right here real quick. What he's saying is, if you go about to establish your righteousness by the law, you have to do it all. Y'all good? I love that kind of stuff. Man, I love when somebody says, well, I eat this way and I drink this way and I do this and I kind of take, we honor the Sabbath, we're on Saturday, you're on Sunday, whatever. But at the end of the day, you say, okay, that's great. You're keeping that one commandment or those five commandments or those six commandments. We eat kosher. All right, great. But since you're doing that, you got to do the whole wagon. You got to do it all. That's crazy, ain't it? That, because you know, as soon as you say that, you got to go. Wait a minute. I being honest, we can't even keep them. Amen. I can't keep the commandments. Amen. We can't even keep three or four of them. Amen. And more or less keeping the whole law, the whole commandment, and sacrificing and doing everything the right way. So God said, if you go about to establish your righteousness through the law, you got to do it all. Man, every time I read this kind of stuff, it's like one of them mines. You chip in, and all of a sudden you see a big old chunk of gold right there in front of you, and the dirt falls off of it, and you realize how much you've got in Jesus. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know how righteous you are, but without Jesus, I ain't nothing. Amen? So I just realized, wait a minute, I can't do one part of the law. So praise God, He's done it all for me. Thank God. Amen? I hope y'all see that. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That was written. Everybody that hangs on a tree, that dies on a tree, is cursed. Jesus came and hung on a tree. Became cursed for us who were really cursed. Amen? Made a way where there was no way. Died where you would have righteousness. Man, that's amazing to me. I love that when he says he redeemed us. You just stay with me right here for a minute. I love this. It's like somebody calling in a ransom on you. Right? Y'all stay with me. Just hang right here. It's Wednesday night. Just bear with me. I've been locked in my house since yesterday at 2:30, 3 o'clock. I got snowed in Hendon. Anyway, it's a weird little place over there. It's ice and snow. Everybody else, what are you talking about? I was like, I can't drive. Anyway, it's a ransom. Here's what the devil does. Put your name here. Kevin is guilty of sin. Now you put your name. So-and-so is guilty of sin. And I've got him. I've got him. I'm about to put them in eternal damnation, separated from you for eternity, and they're going to be punished forever. I'm accusing them of everything they've done, everything you've done. He knows it, and the devil knows it, God knows it, and he accuses you. And he's making that call. He's like, listen, they're guilty. I got them. Here's what it takes to get them out. If you would bankrupt heaven, send the royal diadem, Jesus, and let him change places. What he was thinking was, no way. You know what I mean. Listen, you're in the bank. You've got people. What do you want? Give me a helicopter, car full of money, and just, you know, freeway out of here. Everybody in the bank, now you ain't getting out of here. Right? And even you know, you're like, it probably ain't going to work out. That ransom made a call. What would it cost for you to go free? For you to bankrupt heaven, send the most valuable thing you got, not an angel, not somebody perfect, not somebody good enough, Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. That's what it'll take. And God said, if that's what it'll take, that's what I'll give. Whew. My God. And nobody can comprehend that. That kind of love you can't comprehend. And some of you, even if you try to think you can, I hope you have kids someday. I do. I'm being honest. I used to think, I told you this before. I mean, I've thought, yeah, I could sacrifice. Just, some of you got grandkids. Let them take your little grandkid and start beating on them. You'll lose your mind. That you would lose your mind. I know some of you, you're cool. If it was going to save everybody, the first lick across the face, they'd put you in jail. You know what I mean? First time somebody spit on them, plucked their hair, stripped them naked, started marching them down the street, they'd had to put you in jail. Right? Amen? You look good in here tonight, but I'm being honest with you. I do too. You'd have to bail me out too. Amen? I've had some times around the church, you know, not here, but, well, so-and-so hit you, son. I'm like, oh, then we'll get in trouble. Just preaching a message, better give forgiveness. I'm going to be out here laying hands on somebody. You get what I'm saying? That is exact, but that Christ, God, did that. Amen? Watch this. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Underline that. If you write in your Bibles, underline that word promise. This gets good. It seems a little deep, but it's you can handle it. It's really good. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but of a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, underline that word seed, S-E-E-D, one word, seed, right? Where the promises made. Now to Abraham, his seed, were the promises made. Underline that word promises again. He saith not as and to seeds. I'm sorry. He did not say it to seeds. He said to your seed. All right? Listen, that's good, right? As of many, but as of one seed. And to thy seed, which is Christ. And I say that the covenant that was confirmed before God of Christ, confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of non-effect. Whoo! Sorry. What's this? God told Abraham, I'm going to save the whole world through your seed. Not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Through the seed, which is Jesus Christ. 430 years later, God gave the law. Man, y'all, this is one of the whole reasons I came to preach this tonight. Then God gave the law. So sometimes, as Christians, we think the law came, then God came, and Jesus came, and Jesus did away with the law. God made a promise. That last verse I read, God made a promise that he was going to save the world through Jesus. 430 years later, he gave the law, and then he gave Jesus, and the law couldn't do away with the promise. Mike, woo! Man, that'll mess your theology up. Because the whole time you're sitting there thinking, the law, the law, the law. The law came first. The law, did they have to do this, have to do that? No. God said, I promised Jesus before I promised the law. The law came, but the promise still remained through the law. God, I wish y'all'd get this. I was just going to drop the law in to show you. I made a covenant that you couldn't keep, but I'd already made a promise that I was going to keep. Oh, man. Goodness gracious. Man, I got that one today, and I was sitting there, and that made me shout. I'm sitting there going, my goodness, God promised Jesus when he's talking about the seed, not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob. He's saying the seed, that's coming, that's the promise, and the law can't touch my promises. Whew. Man, that is good. God was planning on saving us from the beginning. We can go all the way back to the garden and talk about, you know, he'll bruise your head, but you'll bruise your heel. That's there, but I love it how he put it right there. God said, I made a promise, and I intend to keep it. Amen? There's a song out there that goes like that, right? It's very good. Make it non-effect. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law. Why are you under the law? If you ain't going by the promise, it was added because of the transgressions till the seed should come. Whew. Yeah, listen to what I just said. it was added. The law was added because of the transgression, because of sin, till the what comes? Who should come to whom the promise was made. Golly, it's so good. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Man, I know that makes sense. All right, if you're going to make a deal and you're going to make a promise, you need mediators and people to set. God said, let's see, I don't have nobody else to swear by. I'll just swear by myself. Amen. Ain't, think about how good that is. I'm God. Who else can I promise? He ain't ever going to lie. He ain't never not going to keep his word. He goes, well, I need a mediator. I'm pretty good at it. I'll do it. Golly. I know it's not, that's deep theology, but there's good stuff. Amen. Now, verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. That's it, believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should come afterwards be revealed. That should be revealed afterwards. Verse 20, here's the last part of promise before we close. Verse 24, look at this real close with me. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. He said, all you needed was a real good teacher. All you needed was something to bring you to a place where you could say, I can't do this. Amen? Listen, some people are trying to live under the law or their own made-up laws. And that's why a lot of people get in trouble, because they're preaching stuff they can't live. They're saying stuff they can't live. Somebody said, why do you preach grace and mercy? Because I can live grace and mercy. Amen? All of a sudden, here's what he said. You got a schoolmaster. What does that schoolmaster do? It brings you to a place. The law brings you to a place that says, I need Jesus. Real quick like. Amen? Now look at this verse 20, 25 with me. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. School's out for summer. Sorry. That's my favorite day of school. You're out of there, right? You're running out the door. You're going summertime, swimming, fishing, whatever you do. Getting up late, right? That's it. What he said, look, the school, once you have Jesus Christ, see you later. I'm graduating the law. And that's, man, that is such a comforting place. Is, you know, let me say this. Some of y'all, I don't know if you'd be honest with me about this or not, but let me just say this. There is nothing greater in the world than knowing that you belong to a family. Amen? Nothing greater in the world knowing that somebody loves you despite of who you are. And some of you right now are going, well, you don't know, man, if you had said that in a crowd of about 200 or 300 people, you would have hit some people that don't have no mamas and daddies and had this and that, and you don't know their whole family situation. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about God said he adopted us. Amen? So God did better, because when you get born by a natural family, you really ain't got no choice. They'll make you take them home with you. Amen? They're yours. Amen? But listen, if you adopt one, you got to take everything with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you can disown your own kids, but you can't ever disown somebody you adopt. Amen? And God says, He adopts you and calls you child, and you call him father. There is nothing greater. Listen, I'm being honest with you. I didn't even know what being saved meant. For years and years and years, I was just trying to get out of hell. I was just trying to say, well, I don't want to go to hell. Nobody wants to go to hell. But nobody wants to give their whole life to Christ either. Amen? But you don't realize that you're only missing the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, because then you belong to God, and God's better to you than the world ever can be. And you're sitting there going the whole time, I don't need the law. I don't need rules. I belong to God and He belongs to me. And that's one of the greatest things you'll ever have. I belong to God. And that, there's a lot that comes with that. There's blessings. Man, there's blessings. There's opportunities and callings. And there's some corrections. And they're good ones. And I ain't going to be foolish with you. I ain't going to sit here and say, God's really whooped me. God's whooped me. Man, God's just like my earthly parents were. He says those cool things like I do to my kids now. Well, I ain't really mad at you. Anybody else want to finish that statement? I'm just really disappointed in you. Why don't you just take a dagger out and just stab me in the heart and cut my throat and let me bleed out? That's the worst thing my mom or dad did. Kevin, I just thought you'd do better. You're just disappointing me. Here, I'll go get the belt. Just beat me unmerciful. Right? That's all God has to do. Man, I'm being honest with you. I hope you're getting this. Because there's certain days God was just saying to me, Kevin, I just thought you wanted me more than that. I didn't think that was more important than I was. Woo! He don't have to put me in a hospital. He ain't got to give me no sickness. Sometimes all he's got to do is not show up in the room. Let me turn page after page after page and not say a word. No, that's good, God. I'll get that figured out. I need you. David said it best. God, restore unto the joy of my salvation. Man, all the broken bones and all the trouble. God, I just miss you. I miss you. I miss the peace and the joy of knowing you. Amen? Golly, whoo, we're right there on that place where you want to end. Verse 26, for you are children, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And we'll end right there. Boy, ain't that sweet? Ain't that a sweet place to stop? For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Man, you've got a heavenly Father that you belong to. Whew. Man, let's all stand.